Lindholm Roofing has appointments available now to provide you a complete roofing, siding, gutter, and tuck pointing inspection. Call 773-283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com. Tell them that Lou sent you. Lindholm Roofing, their family has your family covered.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox!
Let's go, 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 White Sox! We're with you all away!
I still like that retro, old-school Sox song. On the Team Hochberg phone line at 751, I'll tell you something. If ever there was a perfect match to the image of a team, it's Ron Kittle and the Sox. Gary, Indiana kid, son of an iron worker, worked in the mills himself. There he is, Mr. Southside Blue Collar, winning ugly, Ron Kittle. Hey, Ron, how you doing?
That's a heck of a mouthful right there, but it's a great morning, and it's opening day.
Yeah. Is this the best White Sox team you've ever seen, besides 83, of course?
You know what? There's a lot of comparabilities to both of them. A lot of veterans, a lot of young people. They're very talented. I'm disappointed that the season didn't start normally, but we got 60-game schedule. So every game's going to equal about 2.25 games. So it's a rush to the door and see who's going to have the best and who's going to stay healthy.
Ron, before I turn things over to Mr. Annett, can you tell the story quickly about hitting a long ball at a field in Midlothian off 294, and then and then the ball hits a car? Now, if you put this story in a movie, people would not buy it. They wouldn't believe it because it's too unbelievable. Tell that story.
So I broke my neck. I was out of baseball for a year and a half, had major surgery, a halo around my head, and somebody asked me to come play baseball again on a semi-pro team. I said, when? They said, tomorrow night. So I drove there Tuesday. I hadn't picked up a bat in probably 6-7 months. The first pitch the guy threw at me was at my head, and I whiplashed myself thinking my head's going to fall off. And all of a sudden, two pitches later, I hit a ball at Midlothian Field on 294. The ball did not hit a car. It bounced in front of Bill Veeck and Billy Pierce's car. and they went to the next exit and came down and said, who hit the ball? And I'm hiding, thinking I broke a windshield. I got to pay for it. I got no money. And somebody said, well, he played pro ball. He got hurt. They didn't ask how he got hurt. And that Friday, I had a personal tryout in Sox Park. And I put on a show, and they signed me to a contract. So it's like a movie, but
it's true.
It happened for real life.
Unbelievable.
So, Ron, you were American League Rookie of the Year in 1983, as Bob said. There are a lot of people who believe that Luis Robert will be the Rookie of the Year in 2020 in the American League. How much have you been able to watch him? How much have you seen? And just what are your initial thoughts about Luis and what he brings to this team?
Well, you know, I got a chance to see him at a couple minor league parks last year. Very talented kid. He's very athletic. He's got the tools. I mean, he really reminds me, if I got to compare him to somebody, Roberto Clemente style thing. He's capable of doing a lot of things with his glove and his bat. He's only going to get better. I just hope he keeps his head on straight, hangs around the right crowd, and he's talented. He can win Rookie of the Year. Heck, I mean, in a year or so, this guy can just do what he wants to do out there. That's how good he is.
Ron, are you still doing the custom benches that you make out of baseballs and bats?
Yeah, since we've not been doing a whole lot, I've been in my shop probably 80% of the time, coming up with new creations, still doing the bat benches. Everybody wants to see my stuff, but they say it's too expensive. Then I go, don't buy it. it's not for everybody. And I don't make hardly any money off of it. I just do it for fun. But it's like at ronkittle.com. All my stuff is on there that I can make. I've enjoyed staying home because I got a lot of things to do here, a lot of things that I like to do, but I still miss going to the ballpark and seeing my friends.
Can you imagine playing with no fans in the stands and just some recorded crowd noise?
Well, I think it was 82 maybe, or maybe 84. We were in Oakland, and Tommy Pechora was writing down everybody's name in a stand. So we had 230 people in a stand. And the beer vendor literally sat behind home plate and he said, come get your beer here, you know. And they weren't working. So I know what an empty stadium is, but you know what? They got to forget about it. They got to go out there and they got to worry between their brain. I think this is the key element. They got to focus on the mental part of this game instead of the physical. Nobody wants to hang around sick people. But they got a job to do. That's probably all they can do, these baseball players nowadays. They can't do anything else. Mm-hmm. So they want to play ball. They want to go out there and see how good they can be.
Give us, real quick, one memory or one thought on Ed Farmer.
You know, I've said this before. When I was in the minor leagues, I was a catcher. And he walked up to me one day, and I was warming him up in an inter-squad game. And he says, hey, have you ever seen my curveball? And I said, no, sir. And he goes, well, it's a 12-6, you know, coming over the top. The best curveball in the game of baseball. So I'm warming him up, and I'm giggling to myself. And Mike Squires was coming to bat, our first baseman at the time. And he threw the first pitch, a curveball, and I took my glove off, and I caught it barehanded. And I threw it back to him. I go, all right, let me know when you're going to throw a good curveball. And, you know, and, you know, I was kind of a little bit of a smart ass and still am.
Yeah.
But, you know, you don't have to tell me. You know, I signed on as a catcher to catch you. He had a good curveball, but, you know, him and I had a lot of fun together. He's going to be sorely missed at the ballpark.
Ron Kittle, always great talking to you, Ron. Stay healthy, my friend.
I will. Take care. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Steve Stone, Rick Tellender recently referred to you, Steve, and Jason Benetti as two of the best in all of sports. Nice going. How are you?
I'm fine, and that was very kind of Rick. So, look, we try to bring enthusiasm every day, and we treat baseball with a light touch when it's called for, and then get back to serious stuff when things are serious. So I really enjoyed working with Jason, and I think as a team, we enjoy ourselves and have a good time.
And how about this? An unusual opening night. You won't have to be wearing your winter coat.
That's really something. I think it's going to benefit. I think it's going to benefit a lot of the young hitters, especially who have problems. I don't think anybody likes to hit with wind chill factors in the 20s, but that's usually what happens in Chicago. So we've got a team that has a lot of young players, a lot of Latino players who don't play a lot of baseball. In cooler temperatures, I think it's going to benefit the Sox, especially offensively.
Before I turn things over to Dave Annett here, Steve, I have to ask you about this. I see that the Cubs put Jose Quintana on the 10-day injured list because he's got that thumb cut from a wine glass. Did you ever suffer a kitchen injury during all of your time as a major league pitcher?
No, I try to stay out of the kitchen as much as possible. So that was never an issue. But, you know, it's the one thing that is serious is that if you are a pitcher, especially, I think you have to learn to do things with your opposite hand, like reaching for the door.
Uh-huh.
Because if somebody comes out the other way, you wind up hitting it. So I think you always have to tell yourself, and I tried to do this, look, you are a special player. You're a pitcher. Do things to protect the thing that makes you money, which is the hand you throw the ball with. And I think if more players thought about that, just every now and then, we might avoid the tragic kitchen accidents of a cut finger and a surgery.
So you even stayed out of the kitchen at the lettuce restaurants?
Actually, a lot of the chefs forced me out of the kitchen. I used to go in there and like to tinker, and they would spill things on my clothes because I never wore an apron. So, yeah, eventually I got the feeling that this was where they lived. This was where they made their living, and I should stay out of there.
A good thing for all.
And they don't come in the booth.
That's right.
No, they certainly don't.
Hey, Steve, does the short season work for or against a young team?
I don't think anybody can really answer that, Dave, because this is unprecedented. We don't really know. We do know that the teams that get off to the fastest start are teams that have a very good chance to go to the now expanded playoff situation. And who'd have thought at this point Kike Hernandez would be on pace to drive in 300 runs? I mean, you know, that's something that you can't really predict.
Well, that's a valid point.
Is there a weak spot on this White Sox team, Steve?
I'm not sure if it's a weak spot per se, but it's an inconsistent spot. And nobody really knows what the back end of the starting rotation is going to look like. Giolito had a wonderful year last year, and Dallas Keuchel is a proven commodity. He's thrown very well in these early spring or summer games. Then you've got Dylan Cease, who's throwing the ball exceptionally well. But you look at the back two, whoever they might be, if it's Rodon, if it's Lopez, if it's Gonzalez, whoever is going to be the final two in there, along with, well, perhaps Dylan Cease because he's unproven at this point, you don't know how it's going to react. So I would say not a weak spot, but a spot that has to prove that it's going to mold into a strong five-man rotation. And bear in mind, guys, with 60 games and an expanded bullpen with a 30-man roster for the first 2 weeks, 28 the next 2 weeks, and then they go back to 26. When you do that, you expand the bullpen. When you do that, you have more moves. There are managers like Craig Counsell of the Milwaukee Brewers who just assume they could pitching change, oh, I don't know, every other inning. But guys will make quicker changes than they ever made before. That being said, we saw the Yankees and the Nationals. They didn't make the quick changes that I think is going to happen across baseball.
Nick Madrigal is going to start with the taxi squad out in Schaumburg, but do you foresee him being there very long?
No, I really don't, and I think although Nick is a very young player, I think he's a very good player. I think he's also a smart player. I think we'll see him every day because when he does join the ball club, it's going to instantly make the team two things. It's going to make them better defensively. It's going to make them just a touch smarter. Nick is a very good defender. He is a very smart player, has a great and a high baseball acumen, and I think he's going to play in the major leagues for a long time. I like what he does. He's not going to hit the ball out of the ballpark very often. The Sox really don't need that. They've got some mashers on this team. But they do have to make double plays consistently. They do have to make the smart plays in the infield. I think Tim Anderson and Madrigal will be the double play combination for a long time. Moncada showed that he could play defense last year at third. Abreu is an adequate first baseman who does make pretty good plays on short hops at first base and throws. So I think the defense will get better when Nick gets here. And we'll see when that happens.
How do you think your old partners, Harry Carey and Hawk Harrelson, would have reacted to broadcasting games with no fans in the stands?
Oh, I think they would adjust to it. I mean, it's going to be difficult. You know, opening day was always so exciting because it was a packed ballpark, and there was a lot of excitement, and there was a lot of noise. And you don't have that anymore, so you don't have the crowd to feed off of. And that's whether you're a player or, in our case, a broadcaster. I mean, when the crowd gets excited, things just feel electric at the ballpark. That being said, there's a lot of people, guys, that will tell you what this game isn't right now. You see it in newspaper columns. You see it on, you see it in magazines. You see it just everywhere you look, everybody wants to tell you what this game isn't. But let me give you a little idea of what the game is. It's a back to some semblance of being normal for this country. It's something that everybody has done who's been a baseball fan during the summertime forever. It's a game of artistry. It's a game of drama. The game is not going to change all that much. The noise level will. I don't think the players are going to have any problem adjusting to no fans. I don't think as broadcasters we're going to have any problems. But this is a beautiful game. It's back. Hopefully it's back for 60 games and then 16 teams in the playoffs. That gives the White Sox a better chance to get there. So I think that everything that this game has will be on display. I think it's going to be something that a lot of people, most people, actually welcome. We're going to see things we never saw before, but I'm anxious to get it started. I'm anxious to see the Sox in the playoffs. And perhaps maybe there's playoffs on both sides of town. And the great thing, the last three games of the season are the Cubs at our ballpark, and maybe the season on the line for both teams. Oh, now that would be exciting.
You've got to be bleeping me! Yes!
That would be good. Well, I'm voting for you. This message approved by Steve Stone. Thanks, Steve. Always good talking
to you guys.
All right.
Have a good show.